Blog Talk
Hello.
Radio.
Hey, JoJo, how you doing?
Hey, Kaylin. Yeah, I'm doing really great, man. A lot of people listening and waiting for the show.
Yes, sir. And we had a little issue logging in. That's how live radio goes. Thanks so much for being on. And I'm going to give a backstory about you, and then I'm going to let you jump in and fill in the blanks for me, if that's okay.
All right, Kaylin.
All right. Everybody, I know we run a little bit past, and I do apologize, but it's just one of those hectic things that happens when you're doing live radio. Couldn't log in. But I'm going to let you know about this gentleman because he's been such a blessing to me in my life. Because everyone pretty much knows about the motorcycle accident and the drunk driver that run me over repeatedly. But, you know, nobody really understands when... You know, it's like, okay, there's the accident, there's the issue of the broken and the surgeries and everything else, but then there's the recovery that follows along with it. And I just kept running into people that really didn't have the best intent for the recovery. You know, it's basically you'll get to this point in life and then basically your life just goes on. I guess that's the best way to say it. So you'll have a permanent limp. You'll have a bent arm, you'll have all these injuries that you'll just have to learn to live with. And after three therapists, I was starting to believe it because, you know, they were professionals about what they did. And I really didn't understand how I was going to get better if they were saying this is the best you're going to get or best you're going to be. Because there was major injuries, there were broken bones, there were... you know, punctured lung. So basically there was a lot of work to do and not much to start with from a beginning, because where do you start when everything's basically a total wreck? And, you know, I prayed about it and I really asked God because I just didn't see a way out and I didn't see a way for it to get any better. And, you know, my mother and Mike Newman basically suggested JoJo Sison. And I was like, okay, where do I have to go? Because I was having to travel to all these different outrageous places and pay these outrageous fees, and then it turns out the guy that's going to be the blessing for me just happened to be in the same hometown I lived. So I was really, you know, I was really inspired by that alone, and then to find out that he was so willing to work with me. So I'm going to introduce him, and then he can basically go from there about all the things and facets of this man's life. And I'm just like a very minute part of it, but thank God I got to be a minute part of his life. So, JoJo, please introduce yourself to the P4P community and all the natural bodybuilders and listeners.
Thank you, Kaylin. Hello there, everybody, the listeners from all over the world. My name is JoJo Sison. People, especially children, call me fondly as JoJo. It seems to be a very friendlier name.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, but Kaylin, I just wanted to give kudos to you first for believing in yourself first before believing in me, because the illusion is that someone is helping you when in fact, when you pray to God for help, it starts by God giving you the blessing of wisdom of deciding to get better. So it starts from you. That's one. I want to thank you for that. Number two, I want to thank you on behalf of the good Lord that you are never afraid of showing and telling people about the wonders of the Almighty. And that is basically the main secret of the things that I do in life that seems to be very successful. So I think, Kaylin, it'd be best if you would kind of guide us with questions, so I can specifically talk to our listeners and they can gain something good out of this.
Yes, sir. That's a good place to start. Now, first we'll say your background, because your main job, because you've got so many facets to what you do in a day that it would be hard for people. So we'll start with your profession and then we'll go basically from there.
Okay, very well. By primary trade, I am a physical therapist. I've been a physical therapist for 34 years. I'm also a professor teacher of orthopedic manual physical therapy. So I do have a doctorate. I'm a doctor of manual therapy, the first Filipino national in the world, originally coming from the Philippines. So that's my primary job. I specialize in orthopedics. The second job I have is I'm a scientist for the space station. So I work for the human research program of Johnson Space Center in Houston through the University of California, San Diego. So I've been working with NASA since the 2000s, so about 17 years now. And I work directly with astronauts before and after flight. We're defining some major issues in the spine that we are helping prevent any injuries for future launches and space travel, especially when we get to Mars on a manned mission in the 2030s. So that's a second one. Third is I teach. I do teach orthopedic manual therapy anywhere in the world that I'm sent to through the Ola Grimsby Institute of San Diego, California. What else, Kaylin? There's so many things.
Yes, sir.
I do have a foundation. Yeah, I have a foundation for children, empowering children all over the world. It's called Project Michelangelo Foundation. And an offshoot of that is I have a magazine online for women, empowering women to change the world, and with a primary female volunteer writers. It's called Angel Rising Magazine, and it could be found at www.angelrisingmag.com. Then I'm not sure, Kaylin, I'm not sure where to go from here. There's so many things we could talk about, but that's
yes,
a major
sir.
One.
We'll get into that magazine right now, because I threw out a feeler just to see how men are still approaching how they view women. And one of the things that I was talking about is, you know, like, and I was stressing the point of how people feel about women, you know, either they're objects or they're actually human beings. And just to see where so-called men, where they say, you know, I respect women, I this and I that. But just the comments that were coming in off the post I put in this day and age, 2017, and still how they try to take away the power from women to basically control their lives and days. And I was, you know, I wasn't shocked, because that's why I put it out there, is basically for that. So could you just talk about the importance and the value of female empowerment?
Okay, yes, so I'm ready for that. Well, first thing is I want to go back to scripture, because that's the best book in the world is the most read and the most published book. And what book is that? Well, the Bible. It's been surviving for millennia, and been published in so many languages. And so if you were talking about a bestseller, it would be scripture. So I'm going to base it on that. From there, from the book of Genesis, the greatest gift that God gave man is woman.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman is the greatest gift. Without woman, there would be no us. So we need to remember that first. So for a man, man needs to honor and respect a woman. But then again, it's not a one-way trip. A woman should be respectable and honorable. So let's bring that context into the future, into the year 2017 AD. If you look at Facebook, there's so many angles on that. Like, I hate women, I like women because of this. I hate men, I like men because of this. So the problem there is we tend to generalize. Just because one woman or one female species, for example, would cause an issue or a schism of relationship, then the person might end up generalizing that all women are like that. And that is usually followed by the next relationship, which would be a bad relationship, and the next one, and the next one. And this is so common. So I know that, you know, our listeners out there, it's like you start wondering, how come when somebody leaves a relationship, they end up falling into the same woman, but different face? And same thing for the women. They end up having a relationship with the exact same guy with a different face and a different name, but it's the exact same person. So let's define this first. Number one, if we can get out of that rut of thinking of generalization, let's say for let's concentrate on the men for now, because I think the majority of the questions are for men. Would that be correct, Kaylin? About women? Okay. So if we start generalizing, I hear a lot that women are this and that, women are that and this. If remember, if you say something bad about a woman, it's the same as saying something bad about your mother or your sister.
Yes,
so
it
so we need to put the context, the field of or the paradigm of thinking into its proper place. We tend to generalize, and what I can tell you with that is stop. The person that hurt you is a person on its own. It's not the next person. Okay, so let's make that clear. Let us stop generalizing, number one. Number two, let's talk about how come a person, let's say a guy, would have a better relationship and then breaks away and then finds another gal, and then it was okay at first, it's exciting to have a new relationship, then something goes sour, and it ends up being the same person in a different face, right? And it repeats over and over again. The problem there is that we have not changed our paradigm of thinking. We are looking for a better person, but in our minds, we are still believing that the woman that we want is the same woman that's coming into our lives. It's a belief system. That is why people can never change without changing how they think. For example, if you give somebody who's always broke and you give them or they won $1 million in the lottery, for example, versus somebody who built himself to get that $1 million. In research, it shows that approximately 1 out of 10, maybe 2 out of 10, would retain the $1 million. The rest, about 80 to 90%, they would squander it and they'll be back to where they were and maybe poorer. You've heard this before, have you not, Kaylin?
Yes.
They win money, but in the end, they lose it all. Now, so is it the money that's the problem? No, because they have not gotten out of that belief system that they are richer. They think that they're still poor in their mind, so they're spending the same wasteful things. They have not changed their strategies in life. They have not decided. But remember, it is a decision to change that. So going back to the relationship, we need to drop the old habits and the old expectations, because most of the time we have a checklist. A checklist is something maybe imaginary, something you write that the next person I will have, the next girlfriend or wife, should be this, should be that, should be this, should be that, and we have a checklist. You know what? That's an illusion. It never works. Most people who have bad relationships or end up having bad relationships is because they have a checklist. The girl must be blonde, the girl must have a 24-inch waistline and whatever. There's a lot of physical aspects, and the girl should be doing the same things I like. They have a checklist. If guys want a good relationship, they need to remember the two things I talked to you about. First, I'm going to keep on reviewing so it keeps on getting drilled into people's minds, okay? Kaylin, would that be all right with you? So I'm
yes,
going to keep on repeating. So people will remember. So number one, stop generalizing. Stop it. Okay? If you say that the women are bad, then you tell that to your mother and to your sister. Okay? It's not going to work. Okay? They're different people. So stop generalizing. Number two, we need to change the paradigm of thinking. That means once that person is over, then drop the baggage. The baggage is the same things you want in the woman, but it's just a different face. We are excited as men because men respond by visual input. That's why if a gal has a low-cut dress and you can see the cleavage, whether you like it or not, the man will stare at the cleavage. It's just a normal thing for a man. They respond by visual imagery. So we need to remember to change the paradigm, like change what we want in life. And that part of it is removing the checklist. Stop the checklist. So that's not. So those are two things to think about. Okay. So stop generalizing. Change our paradigm of thinking. Now you want a woman for life. When you want a woman that you can give to. Number three, expectations. We always expect, and then connected to the checklist, we want a gal, a woman who would love us for life, who would go wherever we want, where we could, she could work out with us, she would like to eat ice cream with me, and you know, things like that. Want to watch action movies with me, things like that. We're wanting the woman to give to what we need as men. Most of the time, it's what we want. We need to stop that thinking process. Think of what can you give the woman.
Yes.
Because a relationship is about nurturing. So people forget that. That's why when somebody new comes to their life, a guy is excited. And even this applies to a woman as well. They're excited because there's someone new. What's that someone new about? It's because we have not discovered their faults yet. So we have the illusion that this is a completely brand new person with new things to offer us, and then there again is what we can get out of them. We have that thinking that what we want, what our checklists are, instead of what can I give to that person whom I will love. We want us first, so quit being first. In a relationship, you have to be second. First has to be the person that you love. All right, so we have three things there. I think that's three, right, Kaylin? Quit generalizing. Then we need to stop break the paradigm of thinking by removing the checklist, and then changing again. Instead of the what we want is what I can give. There's three. Well, there are more. So I'm going to give you a scientific approach on the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
In neuroscience, the study of the brain and the chemicals and the spinal cord, men respond by hormones.
Mm-hmm.
That means the men respond by visuals and what they think that stimulates the hormonal system, the men's libido. Okay, if people don't know what a libido is, it's that sexual energy. Those are hormones, the testosterone. That is why if a gal is selling, let's say, on a beach, hot dogs, there are two different gals selling hot dogs. One is not too fit and shabby looking, and the other one is wearing a bikini and really fit looking. Where do you think the guy will buy hot dogs from? Well, obviously, the one who is visually more appealing, right? Because guys respond with that. It increases their testosterone. It's been measured in science. So
yes.
if you're looking for a real relationship, you have to understand that it is normal for guys to respond to that. So if a woman would like to have a meaningful relationship, it's also responsibility of the woman to look good for the man. And looking good is not based on a magazine cover girl. Okay, it's based on the individual woman herself, because each woman is beautiful in her own way. Physically,
yes.
Emotionally, there are many dimensions of that. And men look for different dimensions as well. So those are at least the four things, okay? Now I'm going to add a fifth one. The fifth one is more on a poetic approach, a poetic and a spiritual approach. We're always looking for that special someone. The men are always looking and searching and looking. It's like men are tailored to be mission oriented. They do their best to get a gal, and then when they get the gal, they get comfortable. So they stop nurturing the relationship. Okay? So the poetic part is that love is like a butterfly. The more you try to catch it and run after it, the more it's going to fly away. But if you're just busy doing your own thing, working on your passions, the butterfly will just land on your shoulder. You don't have to look for it. Whatever was meant for you, you will attract it. So that is the poetic version of that. And I'll give you number six. Are you ready for number six?
Yes.
You all right, Kaylin? All right. Well, it's all about respect. Scripture again, love is kind, love is patient. So if you have a relationship and you have many do's and don'ts, you're in trouble. Or you have so many recollections and a repeat of past mistakes, and you bring it to the present, and then you use that to make a conversation or even an argument. Quit. If it's true love, it's patient. It is kind. It is non-demanding because it automatically fills in the things that you need because it goes both ways. It doesn't go one way. So there you go, Kaylin. You got six beautiful little items that hopefully could be helpful in a man's thinking and also to the women out there who are listening.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Dr. Jojo, we have a female co-pilot here. Des, you there?
I am here, and good evening, Jojo. Thanks for joining us tonight. Sorry I'm late, guys.
Oh, good evening. Well, I'm glad you, you're listening. So I hope it gave a little light on some of the psychology of men and what they look for and, the things that they're expecting. And it's all also very reversible. The concepts are very reversible to the woman. And take a look at our magazine, too, our Angel Rising magazine.
I'm definitely going to take a look at that now, and I've just been so intent on what you've been sharing because I've been like, oh my gosh, he is talking about me, kind of finding the same person in a different wrapper. So
yes,
and we
have not changed. Yeah, we have. In fact, you can. It's not really easy to change, but there's a decision, a major decision to change. And on certain occasions, I do give a motivational talk on how to do that. And in fact, there's a strategy how to do that. Maybe that can be another talk because it takes me a good 4 hours to teach people to do that. There are many ways to do it, but I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg of what you can possibly do now. And it begins with understanding why and how it works.
Yes, and if you do hold one of those seminars, I would love to attend. I will drive to Chicago to be there for that. So
you know what? You
so
can,
definitely,
if you're interested, you can start one up, and we'll figure out something, and then you can ramp up some people, and then we can do it.
Awesome, challenge accepted. Yeah. I will definitely look into that.
You betcha.
Yes.
Great.
But,
do you have a question for me?
I do. We have several questions from our listeners, and I actually need to switch gears here a little bit because they are, of course, Kaylin has been hosting P4P Real Talk for almost 2 years now, and I've been with him for about a year and a half. And so throughout that time, we've gotten little snippets of his accident and things that happened in his recovery. And this is the first time we're being introduced to you and kind of that pivotal moment that really got him over the hump to healing. And several of our listeners are wondering or wanting to know more about your interaction with him and just how that whole process went and, I guess, you know, just different things that you were able to do to help him recover from his near-death, event.
Wonderful. Okay. You betcha. I can fill you in on that. Well, when I first met Kaylin, not only was he injured, he was also emotionally injured because here's somebody who's big and strong, and a bodybuilder. He wants to be a champion in the future. So let's begin with a short story in the old movie Pumping Iron by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think many people have seen that. Now, there's a snippet there where in the early days of Schwarzenegger's competition, he fell from the stage. He actually fell and injured his knee, and that was a fact. So according to Arnold, he went to see a doctor, an orthopedic doctor, and he checked his knee, and the verdict of the doctor is, I'm sorry, Arnold, but I recommend you stop bodybuilding. It's bad for your knee. Okay? So this is a true story. His doctor actually told him to stop bodybuilding. Now, Arnold's passion is more than passion for bodybuilding. He wants to be bigger than big. So he did not believe this doctor. He he went to a doctor who can understand, because he said the doctor didn't even look like he lifted a weight, a 5-pound weight in his life. So the moral of the story there, on a quick note, is that you have to have the desire. If you have the passion, there will be a way. Because I've seen many athletes with injuries, and they wanted to compete, yet they're not sure why, because of their injury. And Kaylin was one of them. So in the rehabilitation thing, it's really not that simple. It's complex. And when I say complex, it's different than the word complicated. I want to differentiate between the two. When I say complex, it means that there are many parts and there are many strategies to completing the mission. But it's understandable. All you need to do is take your time. When it's complicated, it means that there's so many parts that it could not be understood completely. That's complicated. In Kaylin's case, it was complex. So the first part of the encounter with Kaylin is he was looking for help, and I needed to be that institution of knowledge. I needed to earn his trust. And how could I do that? Well, I did that by doing a comprehensive evaluation, because people think physical therapy is the same anywhere. No, it's not. You know, I did a very scientific approach on him. It's a hypothetical deductive reasoning. That means I'm looking for an elimination process to find out what are the problems. When I say what are the problems in a human body, it could be a muscle, it could be a ligament, it could be a tendon, it could be a cartilage, it could be an internal organ. I have to differentiate and find out. So you hone in on the problem. So I did that on Kaylin and found out the specific areas that are problematic to be normal. So that's number one. Number two, once identifying that, then I can make a strategy on what to do to make that heal. Because most people think that the therapist is the healer. I say not. Doctors and physical therapists and nurses, they are not healers. We are glorified coaches. The body was designed by God to heal, but there are conditions. It has to be the perfect conditions for it to heal. So I understood that as I am not a healer. So I made it clear to Kaylin, I am not healing you. You are healing yourself, but I'm going to guide you how. So having a strategy, defining the problem is one, having strategies two, and number three is earning his confidence. Now, at that point, I do recall I earned his confidence. So when you establish that as a clinician, then you will have a very compliant patient. Because like bodybuilding, you know that there is regularity and there's discipline of the repetitions and the times you're in the gym, and everybody knows that. It's the same for healing. If the strategy is correct and absolute, then the person that you're seeing, like in my case, Kaylin, knew that there was a purpose, there was a mission, and there were going to be results. So he had that confidence. By building his confidence in me, and I established God's power on him. Because in the book of Matthew 23, God said, if you have faith, even as small as a grain of mustard seed, you ask that mountain to uproot itself and throw itself into the ocean, and it will follow your command. Most people think, no, that's impossible, it couldn't happen. Well, yes, that's impossible because you think it's impossible. It's telling us that in the scripture that God gave us this ability to change the future by just changing our mindset. You change your mind, you change the future. You believe it shall happen. And I'd like to point out one other scripture with a woman this time, on belief. A lot of listeners out there may know the parable. Not really a parable. It was actually a part of the scripture where it actually happened. There was a woman running after Jesus in the crowd because she was sick with a blood disorder. Okay, you probably remember that, right? Okay, so with the crowd, the woman squeezed herself through the crowd and touched Jesus' robe. And then, or garment, and then Jesus stopped in scripture, and he said, "Who touched me? I felt power come out of me." And then this woman was healed, and she was thanking, Lord Jesus, thank you, I'm healed. Remember what Jesus said? Woman, it is not I that healed you, but your faith. That means God gives us the power through the Holy Spirit that you can do anything you want in your with your passion as long as you believe. So I just by having Kaylin believe in what we're going to do, I triggered in him. I know I triggered in him because he is where he is right now, and he is a godly man. That the power of the Holy Spirit has now gone into him, that now it's rolling in the right direction. All we need is a little patience, and here he comes, and there you go. Now we have Kaylin.
Amazing.
Well, that's a short story. I hope it's short enough, but that's the moral of the story with Kaylin.
One thing I remember with Kaylin
is his laughter. He would he used humor, and every time he came to the clinic, and people loved to hear him laugh. There was this laughter. I haven't heard that laughter for a while, Kaylin. So we must have been tickly or something one time, and it was the joy. It was the joy of the Lord in him. It's being like a child, being childlike. All right, I'm ready for questions or comments.
All right, well, that was amazing, and I think it definitely answered that question. Our next question is, it takes us back to the beginning, to the introduction. Billy wants to know how you got started with NASA.
Okay, his name is Billy, you said?
Yes.
Okay, Billy, all right. Hi, Billy, I hope you're enjoying your little listening here. How it started, it began as a passion of a child. So I'll tell you how old I am, Billy. In 1969, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon and Michael Collins is circling the moon, I watched it on TV. I was there. I was alive. I'm that old. So I watched it. My dad took me to this television to see the men on the moon. And I was so inspired by just imagine, during those days, this was impossible. Like, how can we get to the moon? That's impossible to the standard of then it was. And I'd look out the outside and see the moon, and as a child, I would think there are people there on the moon. So from then on, I got sparked with that awe. So it starts with a child's awe. That's why there's also a lesson connected here. Inspire and nurture children that sense of awe, because you may be the one to start them up to a passion that will bring them to be one of the greatest in the world. You'll never know. So it starts from there. So I got interested in science, but I ended up taking physical therapy, so which is really far away from aerospace. I mean, completely far away. But even though I'm doing the other things, The sense of awe for space exploration was still there. So I diverted into science fiction. That's why there's the Star Wars and the Star Trek and what have you. I got into that. Now, at a certain point in my life, back in 1996, because I wanted to go to space, I wanted to be part of the space program, as long as you still believe, that wanting, that wish that you want in the universe will come back. And I had an opportunity to meet a top-level NASA scientist whose lecture involved back pain and herniated discs from space flight. And he said, NASA does not know why. So I approached that scientist, and I told him, Dr. Hargens. His name is Dr. Hargens from the University of California, San Diego. I said, I think I know why. And the scientist challenged me, because now I'm learning a different language as a scientist. You cannot just speculate. You need to have data. You need to have a research. So he challenged me. So I brainstormed my research and about a theory on how it works, and I presented it to Dr. Hargens, and I was so blessed that he said that he is interested in pursuing this. So I'm going to fast forward. I was able to produce a scientific paper, which is the very first theory that's ever published in the world, why astronauts develop back pain in space. So I ended up becoming a pioneer on it. So from then on, NASA had seen this, and they made a call for researchers for an actual study with the astronauts. With 12 astronauts. And during that time, I sent for an application to become an astronaut for NASA. And during that time as well, and I remember this was the year 2008 when I applied. I received a letter from NASA. It was a thin letter. I'm not sure if some people here have seen the movie Independence Day, right? Where Will Smith was applying to become an astronaut, and he received this thin letter in the locker room. It was from NASA, and he opened it up, and the movie says that he was rejected. I received the same thin letter, and I was so disappointed. I didn't even open it because I knew what it was. It was a letter of rejection. So I didn't open it until, but my passion for it was still alive until I got a call from NASA saying that they wanted me to, through Dr. Hargens, to be part of a team to study the astronauts, a real formal research. So there it was. So from then on, I became friends with astronauts. At one time, I even got a call from the space station. So, Billy, in the end, it's not about my qualification. I was really not qualified to become a scientist for the space program. I was not, because I was part of the writing committee for the application for the grant. It's a $1.2 million grant. I looked into the scientific members, which I am included. I have the shortest resume. And each scientist had hundreds to over 1,000 scientific publications, each one of them. And I looked into mine, scientific publications, and there was only one. Billy, I had only one. How could I be accepted when I only had one and others have hundreds? Well, it happened to be that NASA decided on this research based on my research, that one research. I owned it. So going back to the passion and the belief in God, I realized that God will not call the qualified, but he will qualify the called.
Mm-hmm.
Take that.
So, yeah, secret is passion and God. That's the long answer to those two words, passion and God.
I love it. And JoJo, we want to get back to the rehab, because, we have a lot of people that are in the gym and they've had different related injuries, some from basically not knowing and some from being taught wrong. When we had the Midwest Muscle video, we spoke about that, but a lot of our listeners didn't get a chance to watch it. But could you talk about that and how mentally and physically you have to, like you were saying, you have to recover, because it does take an awful lot when you don't really have the support necessary, because like I said, a lot of people sympathize with the injury, but they never sympathize with the recovery from the injury, and that's a definite plus when you have that kind of support. And Dez and I have repeatedly seen the blessings from that healthy support that you need to get back in the game.
Okay. Well, everybody here listening knows that exercise is good for you. Well, I'm going to simplify it, okay? The human body was designed for a 1G. 1G means one earth gravity. We are dependent on loading forces. If you load the bones just enough, it will thicken. If you put that person in space where there's no loading, it crumbles and they have osteoporosis. If you contract the muscle, it will develop. If you don't use it, it shrinks. Simple, right? So the whole body, the whole system, human being systems, they rely on a mechanical energy. In scientific terms, it's called mechanotransduction, as in mechanics, mechanotransduction. So we as human beings rely on that very cellular principle of mechanotransduction. When it's overloaded, you end up having an injury, and that's what many have suffered in different forms. Injury can be of many forms. There are minor and there are major injuries. A minor injury is something that you have some soreness here and there, but you can kind of work it out and it's okay. When an injury persists, whatever you do, it still persists, you need some professional help. So in any injury, remember, you can overcome any injury. I'm serious about this. All the listeners, you can overcome any injury because your body is designed to heal with just the right amount of mechanical transduction. But that loading has to be precise to that particular structure. So you need to be guided by somebody who's a professional who can identify this. So in short, and to make it easy, because this is really a long topic, if you have an injury, you need blood flow because the cells need blood to repair. Blood contains all the nutrients and the oxygen. You need blood. So how do you get blood flow to the area of an injury? You exercise it, number one, without pain. Painless, no pain. No pain, no gain works only in muscles about 24 to 48 hours or even 72 hours after a workout. That means you have the delayed onset muscle soreness. That's normal. But if you have pain in the joint, usually where the tendons and the joints are, during the execution of an exercise, your body's telling you, stop, you're ripping something. Most of the time, we don't listen to that, okay? The number one culprit here is stubbornness. Number two, ignorance. So let's clarify that. If you're going to want to exercise to heal a torn muscle cartilage, you need high repetitions where it doesn't hurt. So let's say you're doing a bench press. Instead of having the bar all the way to the chest, if it's really hurting all the way to the chest, let's say on the shoulder, but it doesn't halfway, then stick to the halfway point. You have to find the range where it doesn't hurt, where you do high repetitions. And high repetition means beyond 15 to 20 repetitions where you can still do it in good form. It has to be good form, no pain. So that's the very gist of the mechanical loading. But there are three things to this, to healing. Number one is the appropriate mechanical loading, okay? If you're having a ripping on the tendon, you still do high weights and low repetitions, you're going to tear it some more. You need to go down to the lower weight, high repetitions where it doesn't hurt. That's number one, the loading. Number two, nutrition. You need to make sure you have appropriate nutrition, and everybody knows that. Okay? You need to have the appropriate amounts of the micronutrients and proteins and what have you. Number three is restitution. Restitution means between the sets, you have to exercise enough where you're ready to recuperate for another set and another. Then the exercise restitution is short, about 2 minutes, roughly about 2 minutes. And also the restitution between the workouts. And how do you determine the restitution? Listen to your body. Most of the time we fail to listen to the body because we are listening to our egos. We want to do this, want to do that. You know, heck with this, I don't have time for this. And we do the Jesse Ventura thing, but I don't have time for pain, you know. Like in the of course, that scene is from Predator, the first Predator. Got no time for the bleed. But anyway, those are the three major things. On top of that, you need to have some form of wisdom that, hey, you need to back off. You need to, if a bench press hurts you, but a small range fly would work, then change it. It's working the same muscle, but a different way. So be good to yourself, and your body will be good to you. So that's the general gist of healing.
That and faith, as you had pointed out earlier for us. Our next question kind of takes us back in a circle a little bit. It's from Ashley, and she wants to know how you do your research about women and where do you find your studies?
Okay. Women, Ashley, if you're talking about the scientific part with astronauts, NASA gives us the women astronauts. So we're just assigned astronauts, males and females. So far, right now, there are less than a few female astronauts in our study. So that's given if it's a scientific study. When it comes to my magazine, the magazine is an empowerment. So I study by reading all sorts of books or even interacting with women. And I guess for a man or anyone else, you need to have that inquisitive mind. Inquisitive mind means that you have to remove all the preconceived notions already. So preconceived notions, let's say that's why part of the generalization, women are supposed to be this and that. Well, there are only major differences. There are major differences between a woman's mind and a man's mind. There are some major differences. In the psychological part, I think this is attributed to the to how their connectivity in the neuron and the neuronal structure. Women are more detail-oriented, and they're more. That's why they, women can are better doing multitasking than men, and men are more mechanical, three-dimensional oriented. In the psychological part, okay, women tend to be more of the nurturing, and they want to feel that nurturing from another person. That's again, that's part of the difference in the psychological part. Whereas men are mission-oriented, and you find that this is part of the breakdown of relationships. Men will go gung-ho to get a gal, but once he gets the gal, then he gets too comfortable. That maybe he wouldn't send flowers anymore, maybe he's just kind of being rough and rude, and maybe he won't work on a six-pack anymore because he got the price. That's how men are. So we have to understand that. Yeah, isn't it? It's men are like that. That's like King of the Hill. And that's most of the time. Men just forget to nurture. And women, that's why I've seen men relationships fail, because the woman would say, but I can change him. And so the woman will give a chance. I can change him. So the woman is hopeful because the woman is nurturing. By design, the woman, the greatest gift of God to man, nurtures. And becoming a compassionate. But the problem is, that's actually a false statement in a way that you can never change anyone, never, unless that someone is willing to change. As much as the old saying, you can bring a horse to the watering hole, but you can't force a horse to drink. So by having that illusion that I can, when you have that mindset, Ashley, for example, I can change him, you're going to be in trouble. Because you're creating the next person based on your paradigm, based on your subsets and your list. You're hopeful that this person is going to change, but unfortunately, they don't change. Just because you couldn't, I couldn't even change you, Ashley, unless you want to change. I can only give you information as long as you ask for it. But I'm not going to push for information that you don't ask. So going back to where do I get my information on women? For science, it's given to me. For some psychological part, I read about it and the structure of the brain, there is a difference. Why do women think that they can? Well, this is true that they can multitask. It's because in your brain you have two sides, the left and the right, correct? And the left brain is primarily more on your calculating, logical part. That's generally what's believed. And the right brain is more like the creative part. Now, in between the two halves, you have a bunch of fibers. It's called corpus callosum. So whatever the left brain thinks, the right also has a little add-on to it, and vice versa. In women, the corpus callosum is thicker than men. Believe it or not, it is thicker. So what it's telling us is that women can communicate left and right faster than men. Women can associate things faster and sometimes a little bit out of line. Let's say, for example, if a man forgets, let's say, an incident where he forgot an anniversary, let's say 20 years ago. He forgot, but he forgot 20 years ago. The woman will not forget that because there's so much connectivity. And maybe when the woman sees this box of chocolate that's colored green box, like, oh, this is the same box you used, the same candy you gave me when you forgot our anniversary 20 years ago at 7 o'clock p.m. There's so much connectivity. So
I'm laughing.
Really not, yeah, because it's true. It's true. There are differences. But if we understand that there are differences, we can make this work. Because the main problem with that is women assume that men will think like them, that they will get it. And men think that women should be getting it because they're assuming that women think like men. That's the problem. Of course, it's not going to work. So I hope, Ashley, I got you a little lead on the women and men, but I'll give you a funny picture experience that I've seen. I've seen this picture a long time ago. Two pictures comparing a woman's mind and a man's mind. So the woman's mind was equated to a picture of a dashboard of a Boeing 747. All the gizmos, all the switches. And it's like, whoa, what are you going to touch here? That was the woman's mind. And then they looked at the picture of the man's mind. It was an off and on toggle switch. It was like, okay. Isn't it? It's like a man is either hungry or not, or horny or not, or whatever. And for a woman, there are many dimensions to a woman. You can't just get a woman to bed. You know, there's many dimensions to that. You know, so if we understand that there are differences, that we need to understand each other. That's why if we think more like what's in it for me, for a woman, that the man should be doing this for me, should be doing that. We have this checklist, and the man the same way, have a checklist. Stop the checklist, because it's not about what you want. It's about understanding the other person. And if you're really meant for each other, you will understand each other very well in a very harmonious way. I hope that's enough, Ashley. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
You know, I'll give you. This is a joke I found on the internet. It purely states how a woman's mind is different than a man's mind, because men are literal. It's an off and on title switch. So here's the story in a joke. Okay, and this is not for me. Okay, so don't call me whatever you want to call me. Okay, so this is about a story of. A man who forgot the woman's their anniversary. So the wife, Mildred, says, "John, did you forget something?" And John said, "No, what did I forget?" "It's our anniversary." And John goes, "Oh my God, oh dear, I'm so sorry, I forgot. I'll make up for this." "You sure you're going to make up for this?" "Yes, dear, I'll buy you anything, I'll make up for this. I'm so sorry, please forgive me." "Well, okay." So Mildred says, "You can buy me something. Tomorrow, I want to see in front of the house, on the driveway, something red and something that will go from 0 to 200 in under 6 seconds. "Wow." Okay, the guy said, "Okay, dear, I'll do it. All right, so remember, a woman is saying something and a man is receiving the information. So the following day, Mildred looks out the window and sees in the driveway a red box. "So what is a red box and where is my sports car?" So she went out there and opened the red box, and it was a bathroom scale. So you see what happens here? For the man, it goes 0 to 200 and then under 6 seconds. But she didn't specify what the dimension was. Is it in miles per hour or is it in pounds? So the ending of the story there is, please pray for John, because we haven't found his body yet.
Exactly.
Oh my!
Correct.
Well, I hope our listeners are having fun as much as we do, because I really want to give something scientific, something more evocative in your thinking process. And a good conversation starts out when they leave and go different ways. They are a much more different person. They're different. They're changed because they have new ideas, new inspirations. And I hope we can do this tonight.
Well, I'm sure we have, because, that last show I got to be honest. But, Des, I know you have one more question that we can get in.
Yeah. Zane wants to know how involved you are with natural bodybuilding, JoJo.
Oh, very much so. I do nothing but natural bodybuilding. I was a judge for the North American Natural Bodybuilding Federation for over 2 decades, and I've sponsored over 40 shows. I haven't judged recently. I haven't had any invitation, but I am involved with judging. I'm a choreographer. So I teach both men and women how to turn, how to walk. I've been a choreography poser for many, many years. Uh, I've, I am also a dancer. I used to tap dance and do ballet, so I've done all of that. So exercise-wise, yes, I do exercise. I'm almost 54 years old, and I do have pictures that you can see that I still keep up. You keep it up. Because I do not believe in old age, and that, again, is a paradigm of thinking. See, it's not a denial of old age. It's different. Some people deny old age by changing how they look with artificial means so they don't look old. They're denying it. No, you cannot deny old age. I change the meaning of old age. Instead of old or aging, I call it transformations. That means every second you are transforming. And what do I mean by every second? Let's look at the science of it. You know that the dust in your house is you, right? Everybody knows that?
Yes.
If you look at the dust in your body, it's actually you. It's your skin sloughing off, and then it becomes dust, and your hair and whatever. Yes. It's you. There are dead cells. Why do you have dead cells as dust? Because constantly your cells are dying, and new cells are produced from underneath. And that's the cycle of life. So in reality, by estimations, every second, 2 million cells die in your body. 2 million cells. But then again, it's replaced by another 2 million cells. So you're constantly in flux. Your whole body of 75 trillion cells, they're constantly in flux. They're dying and producing new ones, dying and producing new ones. So you, in effect, you are transforming every second. And the transformation depends on the kind of loading that you do with your body, the kind of restitution, the kind of nutrition, and the kind of overall belief in your image, in your body image, how it will be. So if you see some of my pictures that Kaylin had posted, just think, I am about almost 54, and I don't believe I'm 54. I believe I'm just a living organism at the moment. I'm just transforming every second. So that's natural bodybuilding for me. The most natural supplements and food, and then getting involved directly with natural bodybuilders as well. I've never tried anything that's artificial, steroids or anything, but I've know the effects of that from many, many years since I've been in academia for a long time. So that's I hope that that gives a good answer.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I don't think you've given a bad answer tonight. I mean, I could continue to listen for hours to come, but unfortunately, we don't have hours to come, at least not tonight.
Yeah.
And so
I
have to be the bearer of bad news,
well,
and we have to close here.
Too bad. Yeah, and nothing is scripted tonight, folks. And this is just, and I didn't even know what we're going to talk about, and it just comes out. And then in any case that you would like maybe to establish a motivational talk, we can just do that. All I need is people are interested, and somebody like yourself and your group, Kaylin, that would like that. Which one where we can create something? I can teach people. There's so many things, even how to remember details. Like where is this information coming from? My mind. Well, it's just coming from your mind. It's just you. I just removed the fear of forgetting, because most people don't remember things because they're afraid that they won't remember. That they'll forget. And there are actually mental strategies to do that. I am willing to teach that.
Wow. Well, we'll definitely be in touch with that, because I need to be in that seminar as well. So just sign me up. But in the meantime, if people want to, they're in your area, they want to connect with you personally, perhaps on a physical therapy level or training level or whatever services that you have time to offer these days, or they want your magazine, or they want to find out more about your foundation, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, the best thing is I'll say it tonight, but I'll also type it on that invitation by Kaylin. For general information about me, you can look at www.jojosayson.com, JOJOSAYSON.com. There are links from that site, but the magazine that we're promoting is Angel Rising. So www.angelrisingmag.com, and all the links are there as well, including our Project Michelangelo Foundation. Everything's there. In Facebook, I have two accounts. One is the JoJo Sayson, where you could not get in because I have Facebook set a limit of 5,000 friends, and you're it, and you cannot accept anymore. I have a second account, which I turned into a fan page. and it has the exact same profile photo as my private account, and I do parallel postings on it. So just I invite people, just like the page so you're connected with me. You can message me there if you have any specific questions. But my business number is 815-936-1992.
Awesome. Right. Perfect. Well, JoJo, I can't thank you enough. Kaylin, last thoughts?
Hold on. JoJo, would it be a problem to have you on again Tuesday the next week? Because it's a lot of people that really wanted to hear about our interaction, and we kind of diverted off because of all the issues with trying to get the show set up. Would that be an issue?
Next Tuesday? I think it's possible, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we can probably do that, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so I invite people to link onto it my Facebook account, especially that fan page, and you'll see all the posting. I do write aphorisms. Aphorisms are sayings, original sayings about life. I write on it pretty much every day. I do have a book, but I can't promote it because I'm out of stock. It's Springboard to Heaven, the JoJo Says an Adventure. But I'll have all the links there, so you'll get to see it. I will have a second edition by fall, and my second book coming out.
All right, perfect. Well, it sounds like we'll be talking to you again soon. So, again, thanks for joining us again tonight. And, God bless. And I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah, God bless everyone listening and learning from this. And all I can tell is that I believe in you.
Amen. So on behalf of myself, JoJo, Kaylin, and the boys at P2P, your body is a temple. So let's build it.
Let's build it.